This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The jobs are there. Where are the people? For Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. You may have seen the signs, help wanted, hiring now. There are not just jobs out there. There are, in fact, a record number of them. And yet, employers complain they cannot find the people to fill them. So, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, they are pulling out all the stops to lure workers to come on board.
Hiring incentives include boosting starting pay, giving current workers raises to keep them, offering bonuses and more flexibility. Still, Ann Petrick at executive coaching firm Vistage says in a recent survey, two-thirds of small and mid-sized businesses complained that
hiring challenges are affecting the ability of their organization to operate at full capacity, and that's actually a 5-point increase since June.
She says a lot of those businesses are investing in technology while they can't find the workers they need.
There's chatbots that can replace customer service. There's so many different applications.
And businesses are changing their operations, says economist Robert Frick at Navy Federal Credit Union, to get the work done with fewer people.
A lot of employers are saying, to heck with this. We're going to offshore jobs, automate. We're going to go more online.
He says this transition will be good for skilled workers whose wages go up, not so good for workers who lose their jobs to the machines. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Hurricane Ida damaged U.S. oil production in the Gulf of Mexico. Its storm left 1.1 million barrels of daily crude production a day shuttered in that region. And that has led to oil prices rising. West Texas is up just above $70 a barrel. Brent crude closer to $74 a barrel. And with that, let's look at the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 5-6% range, with the Dow future up 221 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.337%. The United Nations is convening an aid conference in Geneva today in an effort to raise more than $600 million for Afghanistan, warning of a humanitarian crisis there following the Taliban takeover. But even before the Taliban takeover, half the population of Afghanistan, that's about 18 million people, were dependent on aid. That figure looks set to increase due to drought and shortages of cash and food, UN officials and aid groups are warning. Common prosperity. That is the term Chinese President Xi Jinping has been using of late in describing one of the top priorities of the Chinese Communist Party, narrowing the wealth gap in that country, a challenge very familiar to American listeners. We cannot let an unbridgeable gulf appear between the rich and poor, she said earlier this year. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak is in Shanghai and joins us now to talk about what this challenge looks like in China. Good morning.
Hey.
What does China's wealth gap look like? What's the big picture in China?
So most families in China would say they're much better off than they were two decades ago. But more than 600 million people, that's over 40% of China's population, had annual incomes of about $1,700.
Economists have a measure of income inequality in society called the Gini Index, some listeners may know. And the U.S. and China are pretty close in the degree of inequality they have. The U.S. actually ranks slightly worse off in terms of inequality in income. How would you say the U.S. and China compare?
Well, I think there are just two key differences. In China, it's very rare that you hear about people going homeless or hungry. And that's because when it comes to housing, most people have a family home, whether in the countryside or in the city, that was given to them by the government before the economy became more market-oriented. The second thing is that a lot of daily items are heavily subsidized. So we're talking about natural gas, electricity. Even here in Shanghai, the priciest city in mainland China, the subway for me to take to work one way is under 50 cents.
Oh, I wish it were that in New York. What does China's middle class, what's a typical worry for someone in China's middle class?
So they worry about three big things: housing, healthcare, and education, because the best doctors and best schools are all located in mega cities like Shanghai and Beijing. And in order to get a chance to have access to some of this better welfare, you could get a property, but it has to be in the right district. And so that's why the price of housing has also gone up. So now buying a home is really a family affair. The other thing is there are limited schools. And when it comes to healthcare coverage, there's a public system, but what households have to pay out of pocket when it comes to, say, a serious illness could bankrupt a family.
So what's China's plan? What does tackling this kind of wealth and income inequality look like for the Chinese government?
So now an old phrase is coming back, the common prosperity. And the most striking thing that's happened is in the education sector, specifically towards academic tutoring. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, but now the government says it has to turn nonprofit. It's basically to stop parents from trying to outspend each other. Outside of that, though, we're getting very few details on just how China will rein in housing prices and medical costs. Now, this is happening at the same time when big tech giants are being fined for anti-competitive measures, for not protecting consumer rights, and so they're now being asked to spread the wealth. Now, this comes at a time when the economy isn't growing as fast as before, and there really is an anxiety amongst young people here that they might not do better than their parents or even to maintain the lifestyle that they grew up with.
Marketplace China correspondent Jennifer Pack, thank you as always.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.